Doping scandals have plagued nearly every major professional sport, from cycling to soccer to baseball. This year, dog mushing joined that list. On October 9th, the Iditarod Trail Committee, or ITC, which governs the 1,000-mile race from Anchorage to Nome, announced that four dogs on a single musher's team tested positive for the prohibited pain reliever tramadol at the end of this year's race. It was the first time any positive test had been returned since the race began drug testing in 1994. Last week, they named that musher four-time champion Dallas Seavey, who placed second this year. Since the announcement, Seavey has repeatedly denied that he gave the drug to his dogs. Some of his fellow mushers are standing behind him. Others in the mushing community argue Seavey's claim of sabotage has little evidence to back it up. Seavey and two other mushers, Laura Neese and Jason Mackey, have withdrawn from the 2018 race in protest of the ITC's handling of the issue. For its part, the ITC says it can't prove Seavey intentionally doped his dogs and won't be retroactively punishing him. But the board of directors did change the rule pertaining to canine drug use. Rule 39 now requires mushers to prove that any positive test was caused by, quote, means out of their control. The developing news has raised questions about whether Seavey did give his dogs tramadol, who might have done so if he didn't, and where the Iditarod will go from here. I'm Gabe Colombo. Stay with me as KNOM takes a look at what happened and what's next.
And they are up the chute, red booties and all.
We'll start at the beginning, the finish of the 2017 Iditarod. March 14th, 6:24 p.m., Dallas Seavey pulls into Nome in second place with seven dogs. He finishes close to 3 hours after his father, first place finisher Mitch Seavey, and just 5 minutes ahead of third place finisher Nicholas Petit. Petit has the fastest time from the safety checkpoint 22 miles east. He also has with him the veterinary log Dallas Seavey left behind in White Mountain. Mushers are required to have the book with them at the finish line. Petit declined to be recorded for this story, but says he's unsure who drugged Seavey's dogs. He says he's not concerned about the place he finished in, but only about having the best-looking dog team upon reaching Nome. The top four mushers all break the previous record of just over 8 days and 11 hours, which Seavey set in 2016. Seavey could not be reached for comment for this profile. Kennel staff cited a trip to China for a prior speaking engagement this week. But in an interview with KTVA, he says his dogs appeared strangely lethargic after the finish of the race.
I mean, so we had them on heavy electrolytes, we were trying to get them bounced back. Dogs that are usually very animated and perky aren't wanting to get up and eat. Something was strange. It was a short window, we got them on the electrolytes, we got them on all this stuff, and they seemed to bounce back. It's like, okay, maybe it was just a hard race, but I've never seen them finish like that, you know, or after the finish be like that. And that was a bit concerning.
6 hours later, around midnight, according to an October 23rd statement from the ITC, a three-person drug testing team collected urine samples from four dogs on Seavey's team. Seavey had been granted a delay in testing because his dogs were undergoing additional unrelated blood tests, and he says he wanted to give them time to rest. The samples were then transferred to cups, which identified the dogs by bib number and dog tag. Two of the urine samples were collected in the same cup, which the ITC says is a common practice known as batching. The ITC statement says the procedure took place in the presence of an observer from Seavey's kennel who signed each sample submission card. Those cards, which contained the identity of the dogs, remained with Dr. Maury Craig. He's professor of toxicology at Oregon State University and has coordinated the Iditarod's drug testing program since 1995. He also helped design the program and others in greyhound and horse racing.
The only person who knows how to relate to the musher to the barcode is myself. And then the barcoded sample gets frozen in a secure location. And then that frozen sample goes overnight down to the lab.
That was on March 16th. The lab is certified under Racing Commissioners International, which governs professional horse and greyhound racing in North America. On March 17th, a small portion of the sample was analyzed by a liquid chromatography mass spectrometry system, which can detect 375 different drugs. That test came back positive for tramadol. As is standard procedure, a second analysis was then performed on March 20th, confirming a high concentration of the opioid pain reliever. Craig says that based on the analysis, the tramadol was administered between 2 and 15 hours before the test. There's no indication that there were any other prior doses. But because we don't know how many times exactly dogs have urinated before they are tested, he says, a urine test can't get much more specific than that. Since CV left the White Mountain checkpoint at 9:35 in the morning, around 14 and a half hours before the samples were collected, the drug could have been given to the dogs at White Mountain, Safety, or at Nome after he finished the race. Tramadol is a painkiller. It relieves pain. Craig says although there's been no hard science on tramadol in dogs, based on what we know about it in humans and other animals, it most likely would give a musher a competitive advantage.
If the dogs were painful and they didn't feel pain, they'd run better. Why would you not want to have drugs like that aboard for horses or dogs? Because they wouldn't quit on you, you know, if they were in too much pain.
But, he says, it's also got negative side effects like constipation and sedation. He says it makes perfect sense that CV's dog seemed low energy after the race finish. According to Iditarod spokesman Chaz St. George, tramadol has been on the Iditarod's list of banned substances since 2005. But that was several years before the drug was even being prescribed to dogs.
The drug testing protocols that were used back then were beginning to pick up traces of tramadol in horses and in dogs in racing events. Then it created a great awareness within these races that there were human doses from human prescriptions ending up in some of these, you know, canine or equine athletes.
In a YouTube statement posted the day his name was released, CV denies giving tramadol to his dogs and alleges that it was sabotage. He says some mushers have a grudge against him.
There are two ways that you can do this. One, you can give a drug to your dog so that they perform better. Or you can give that same drug to another person's dog to cause their dogs to perform worse or to cause them to have a positive drug test and be removed from the race.
CV says there are several ways his dogs could have been given tramadol by someone else, including by tampering with food drops.
We send our food drops out weeks in advance of the race. You could very easily inject any drug, any of the 325 banned substances, into a musher's White Mountain and Nome bags. They're going to have to feed something to their dogs, and you know for a fact they're going to have a chug test in Nome.
But as musher John Chandlemeyer writes in a recent ADN opinion piece, quote, four dogs would have had to find that injected drop and divide it amongst themselves to get enough in their systems to test positive, end quote. Dr. Craig concurs that it'd be difficult to achieve the uniformity of the test results through food injection and not tablets.
If it is a slurry, then it could go into, theoretically, the meat. You usually think of it getting different concentration in the meat if you inject it into one site, because it doesn't distribute itself evenly.
Regardless, according to the ITC, CV was notified of the positive test result on April 10th. Both the ITC and CV confirmed that race marshal Mark Nordman discussed the test results with CV multiple times in the following months. CV did not ask for a third sample test to be conducted. The ITC's legal counsel advised there would be no way to prove CV's intent. So when the Iditarod Board of Directors met for its regular meeting on April 14th, a change to the drug testing policy was on the agenda, but not any retroactive punishment.
We had said all the time, and I think this is really important, that Dallas was never going to be punished or prohibited or banned or anything. We just had to make a better rule so that all mushers and all dogs would, you know, this would be equal. And the most important part of this is the rule does, it is in the best interest of the four-legged athlete.
That's St. George. He says the board did not appoint an investigative panel in April or at its next meeting on May 19th. He says the next scheduled general board meeting wasn't until October 6th, so that's why no information was released over the summer. He says the board wanted to finalize the rule change first. CV says he's frustrated the board didn't pursue further investigations.
They just dropped it. They didn't try to prove my innocence. They didn't try to cover any of the mushers, and they're just letting this hang over everybody.
CV volunteered to take a polygraph or lie detector test, According to a public statement he wrote anonymously to the board as Musher X before his identity was revealed. St. George says no test was undertaken, reiterating that
Dallas was not, you know, convicted of anything. He was not suspected. We could not, because of the way our rule was written, we could not prove that he did. And therefore, there was no reason to take it a step further.
When the board voted on the rule change October 6th and then announced 3 days later that there had been a positive drug test, speculation began to swirl about the identity of the musher, which was withheld. CV and the Iditarod Official Finishers Club, which represents mushers, put pressure on the ITC to release that information. St. George says with the legal team's approval, the decision was made to release the name of the drug and then the name of the musher. In the wake of the announcement, CV said on social media that he would withdraw from the 2018 race in protest of the ITC's handling of the matter. Over the weekend, two mushers followed him, Laura Neese and Jason Mackey. So far, none of CV's sponsors have dropped their sponsorship, and several mushers have come out in support of CV in statements, interviews, and on social media. But some have denounced him. In a series of blog posts, musher Zoya Denure, who finished 57th in this year's race, condemns CV for what she says is unethical treatment of the animals. She writes, quote, "He'll do whatever it takes to win at the expense of dogs," end quote, and accuses both the younger and elder CV of culling and abuse training. The animal rights group PETA has long criticized the Iditarod, and in recent statements it cites the positive drug test as further evidence that the race poses serious harm to dogs. On Tuesday, it released a statement saying that a whistleblower at CV's kennel provided photographs and videos of reportedly injured and mistreated dogs. But according to the Matsu Borough, officials investigated the claim and found no violations at the kennel. Iditarod board member John Handelin was clear about the race's stance on dog treatment.
You know, we want the best for the dogs. We want a fair and equal competition. And the Iditarod is firmly behind the policy that performance-enhancing substances will not be tolerated in the race.
He says there is no ill will towards CV. The musher says he believes he's being targeted directly by the board because of his objections last year to the institution of two-way communications on the race trail. Handelin says that's a non-issue.
We took it, we dealt with it, and it's water under the dam. I don't hold grudges against people.
Handelin also offered insight on where the ITC will go from here. In an October 23rd statement from the Iditarod Official Finishers Club, a group of mushers requests a, quote, "more comprehensive drug policy," end quote. If a musher tests positive for prohibited substances, they want prize money to be withheld until a full investigation can be done. In addition, the statement calls for the elimination of the so-called gag rule, Rule 53. That prohibits mushers from making statements, quote, "injurious to the best interests of the race," end quote. The Finishers Club also calls for the extension of the date mushers can withdraw from the 2018 race and receive a full refund of their entry fee. That date passed on October 2nd. Handelin says the board held a special executive session on Tuesday to discuss possible rule amendments. That was a month before the board's next scheduled meeting on December 1st. St. George says it was purely informational and no action took place. According to the ITC's bylaws, the board can amend the race rules up to 4 months before the start of any race. This year, that deadline is today. Rules can still be amended after that date, but only if two-thirds of the board votes that action needs to be taken to prevent, quote, "potential or actual harm" to the ITC. St. George says for the future, the ITC is considering the withholding of prize money following a positive drug test, as well as implementing a required panel review. That panel would need to release a decision before June 1st after a race. He says increased security and surveillance measures at checkpoints are also on the table, but concedes it's near impossible to secure every single area.
Many of these checkpoints, there's not many people in them, and some of them, there's nobody there until about a week or two before the race starts moving in that direction, and then we bring people in. But my point is that there is no real true security protocol in many of these communities along the Iditarod Trail.
The revised canine drug use rule states that, quote, "mushers are cautioned to ensure that food, meat, snacks, and veterinary supplies do not contain prohibited drugs," end quote. St. George says improvements to security and amendments to race rules should be considered through a partnership between the ITC and mushers.
These should be conversations. We should be having more communication with our Iditarod official finishers club in order to build consensus and then come up with a decision. It's kind of difficult when you just, when all of this happens in one fell swoop and here's what we want you to do. And so we're working through that. And we take this all very seriously.
IOFC President Wade Mars, who sits on the board as the musher representative, says he's supportive of the ITC and such conversations.
I think that they have a good chance to play their cards right on this one, and I'm sure that they'll make the best decision for the race. Hopefully the board and the mushers can work together to make this event as great as it should be and can be.
Neither the ITC nor CV have said they'll pursue further investigations of the positive results from this year. But it's clear that CV will not be retroactively punished in any way. He's not been banned from the race. CV says he urges mushers to step back until the Iditarod is, quote, healthy again.
The board has always operated under the thinking or the pretext that mushers are going to race, right? That's always the strong arm. What else are they going to do? Run the quest? Unless we see change, I recommend that mushers do.
That'd be the Yukon Quest, the 1,000-mile sled dog race through Alaska and the Yukon Territory. That race updated its own drug use policy recently. Like the Iditarod, the burden of proof is now on mushers if there's a positive test result. CV says he loves the Iditarod, but he maintains that
the board is not the Iditarod. When I view the Iditarod, I see the whole big thing. I see Alaska. I see the fans. I see the volunteers. I see the media. I see the mushers. This is the Iditarod. I love the Iditarod. I think we all owe it to the state, to the sport, to do the right thing, to make sure that we have healthy leadership to be able to move forward.
It's likely that the full answer won't come to light as to how exactly CV's dogs were given tramadol. But the events of this year have introduced a new element to a race previously free from doping controversy. Mars sums it up.
It'd be really sad to think that Dallas would do it. It'd be really sad to think that there's somebody in this world willing to do that to Dallas's dogs. I would like to think that it was some sort of accident, but who knows?
The Finishers Club will meet again on November 12th to discuss the matter further. Whatever changes the Iditarod board may make to the rules, and whichever mushers may withdraw from the race in the coming months, the 2018 Last Great Race will begin on March 3rd in Anchorage. 57 mushers are currently signed up. For KNOM Profiles, I'm Gabe Colombo.